My Eagle enthusiasts, it's Fairway Rollin' presented by FanDuel. Major season is here, and you can get in on all the long drives, big putts, and major moments with FanDuel. Check out live PGA Tour bets like longest drive, round leaders, matchups, birdie or better, and more. Plus, track every shot in the app and watch select par three holes while you place your bets. Download the app today and bet with FanDuel, the official betting operator of the PGA Tour. Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 years old or older and present in select states. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is brought to you by Evernorth Health Services. Costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and Evernorth is doing everything in their power to make that possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best. It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that'll benefit your bottom line. It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI. It's possible because they're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, the Ringer Shack House is brought to you by Callaway, the number one irons in golf. Hey, House, I'm going to let you take this one because I know you just spent a week in Florida playing with a set of Callaway's latest and greatest irons.
I did it, Jeff Shackelford, and let me tell you, the irons remain hot with that explosive face cup technology. That means more distance. In fact, I knocked the ball over a couple greens and more forgiveness. Callaway's steelhead irons, Jeff, are the must-try irons of the season. I recommend you all get out there, friends, to your nearest golf shop, swing them for yourself, and visit CallawayGolf.com. Use the Iron Selector Tool. That's capital I, Iron, capital S, Selector Tool to find out which ones are best for you.
All right, let's go to the Shack House. House, welcome back from beautiful Florida. We've been off while you were off gallivanting around beautiful Ponte Vedra Beach. A lot of fun stuff going on. We're going to talk to Adam Hadwin. We're going to talk to Gary Williams. We're going to talk a little bit of Masters. But I got to hear about this trip kind of dusting off the clubs.
Yeah, Jeff Shackelford, I am happy to report I finally recovered physically. My dignity is still, I left my dignity behind. I said there was the humiliation factor was high. I mean, here's the thing at this sort of stage of my golf career, I have a terrific ambition. This whole trip was a knock off the rust, KOTR 2K17, right? Cause we like to put it in the lingo of the millennials. We want to put it in a way that all of our listeners can understand.
Right.
That's right. And we took on a combination of play and instruction. And I have to tell you, at this stage of my career, it was just too much. I mean, I needed to, we went down there on a Wednesday morning, played around the golf, went to dinner, woke up early, instruction for half a day, over to TPC Stadium, had a wonderful experience there. Another dinner, up early again the next day, another half day of instruction, another round of golf, and then off to the airplane. That would might have worked 20 years ago for me, but this stage, you know, I'm on the fourth tee, down on the tee box, doing a leg over leg stretch, you know, my lower back. I mean, it's all that kind of stuff. Now, look.
Come on. We don't want, we've already got an explicit rating. We don't want to give people too many images here. Jeez.
I'm not going to work too much of that geezer angle.
We'll talk a bit about the Sawgrass a little bit more with Gary Williams in a bit. But before we get to Adam Hadwin, last week's winner at the Valspar, we have to talk a little Masters. Because we are getting awfully close. And Adam has added a fun little bit of of Masters excitement for us here because he's our guest and he's now in the Masters. But House, any gut feelings where we are right now with the big tournament just less than a month away?
Yeah, this is when it starts to get real. We are inside of 30 days before the tournament, and you know, you have some guys distinguishing themselves. Dustin Johnson's performance down in Mexico was very interesting. Now, it was such a good performance that I can't touch him in the Masters. The odds
are
7-1.
Yeah,
I mean, that's preposterous. You can't get anywhere near proper value for putting a wager on. But you know, it goes pretty quickly. From that, you know, you have DJ and Spieth and McIlroy and Day between 7-1 up to 15-1. But if you're willing to sort of look at some interesting names once you get to like the 30-1 class and up, some interesting names start to pop up. I know you're partial to and have been enjoying what you've been seeing out of Justin Rose so far this season.
Yeah, I made him one of my four number one seeds. We did a segment on Morning Drive today, and they wanted me to give seeds. And I actually moved him in above Matsuyama just because I feel like Matsuyama suddenly is not trending quite as well. And he could turn it around this week at Bay Hill. But I had to do a preview of 10 players to watch for Golf Week. And I really am bullish on Rose because he's got that great track record. And he's going in so quietly, so off the radar. He had a nice finish at Sony, Riviera, Farmers. He's, you know, the ball striking's as good as ever. It's all about the putting, but, you know, 25-28-1. I mean, he and Justin Thomas are at the same number. And I'm sorry, no disrespect to Justin Thomas, who's one of the three best players in the world right now. But Justin Rose has that second place finish and the experience at Augusta, and he's skipping the match play. And I just love the way I feel like he's kind of coming in the way Adam Scott came in a few years ago. And the years he's contended and won, but that's who I'm seizing on at a reasonable number right now. Who are you? Were you referring to somebody more down the list in particular?
I have two other guys. I have one guy way down the list. One guy I can absolutely promise you I'm allocating some capital to. And honestly, it feels like I wish I'd jumped on him a little early. I don't love this price at 35-1. John Rahm. Who will be playing the Masters for the first time. But, you know, his game is incandescent right now. And I'm not put off by the putt he missed at the end his challenge with DJ. I like just everything about his game. He has all the pieces that look like, you know, could really serve him well. At Augusta. And then I'm going way down the list. I'm keeping an eye on Tyrrell Hatton.
Did I
say his first name right?
Yeah.
Tyrell,
I believe is
Tyrell. Tyrell.
Yeah, but don't ask me.
90-1. 90-1.
Oh,
that's
90.
A guy. Oh. Now, you know, last year, I don't mean to, you know, just pick up off of, because it worked once, the idea that it's going to work again. Danny Willett was a guy that also kind of had this profile as Mr. Hatton that was had played well on the Euro Tour and then distinguished himself a little bit here on the couple of events on U.S. soil and then kind of came out of nowhere to steal the Masters. Hatton at 90-1 is worth a couple bucks on that same kind of idea.
Now, I'm sticking with Thomas Peters. I don't know what you're looking at, but I'm still seeing him in the 50-66-1 range, and just he's still playing beautifully, and I still feel like that's the place that he's the Danny Willett of this year potentially.
I like him. I like him. I like the way you're thinking.
And Kuchar, I just one of these years he's going to do it, and you never know. This could be the one. Very generous.
I was
loath
right to
now.
Mention it. I like Kuchar, and I might put a couple bucks on him. The other guy that fits that same profile, and I know I'll be laughed at for this, is Sergio.
Yeah, I'm not going to mock you at all on Sergio. I just think that everything's lining up. He's newly engaged. It's going to be a lot of fun to see what he does. Maybe this new, kinder, gentler guy, House. But now, House, down at 150-1. If a House will even acknowledge him is Adam Hadwin, our guest today on the Shack House. But before we talk to Adam, Hey, let's take a quick break and hear a word from our friends at Odyssey, the number one putter in golf and clubhouse leader in tour wins around the globe in 2017. Padding that stat yesterday was Adam Hadwin, our guest here on the Shack House today, who was rolling an Odyssey tank putter. That's one of the counterbalance putter options that Odyssey offers. You'll find those options at odysseygolf.com. And new for this season, Odyssey has introduced a new way to roll the micro hinge insert in the new O-Works putters. They help you putt truer and put a faster roll on the ball, which is key to reduce that skid and get that ball rolling on target as soon as possible. And it is the softest putter face I've ever tried in my life. So experience a new way to roll at your closest retail outlet that sells good golf gear and visit odysseygolf.com to learn more about Micro Hinge and all the great stuff that Odyssey is doing.
Friends, the Ringer Shack House is also brought to you by Simply Safe. You may be thinking, did I close that window? Did I lock the garage? These are questions that nag at you while you're out of the house running errands or relaxing with friends, and they could drive you nuts. But thankfully, you do not have to worry when you have Simply Safe home security, because with an arsenal of sensors equipped to protect your entire home and family, Simply Safe offers an extra layer of protection that will put your mind at ease. Not to mention, just recently, Simply Safe released a high definition camera that connects your security system to your smartphone so you can see everything that's going on at your home no matter where you are. No more wondering. But best of all, it's only $15 a month. That's a third of what other companies charge, and no long-term contracts or hidden fees. Simply Safe has got rid of everything that makes most home security systems such a pain. They're not out there to gouge you. Go check out Simply Safe, my friends, and the new camera. You'll get an exclusive 10% discount when you go to simplysafe.com/ringer. That's simplysafe.com/RINGER.
Joining us now on the Shack House, he won the Valspar Championship in dramatic fashion over Patrick Cantlay. He made it interesting the last day. He's been playing beautifully all year on the PGA Tour, including a 59 at the Career Builder Challenge. He's from Canada. He's won now once on the tour, twice on the Web.com Tour, and he's also a two-time winner on the Canadian Tour for Moose Jaw. He is a super guy. We're thrilled to have him. Adam, thank you for joining us. Where are we talking to you from?
I am just currently sitting in the hotel in the Homewood Suites in Orlando, Florida.
Beautiful, beautiful. And you're getting ready to play Bay Hill this week, and then you're taking a few weeks off, correct?
Yeah, we got Bay Hill this week, and then, 2 weeks off from the golf course anyways, but a big week for me next week personally, getting married. So very exciting times, and then we're a couple weeks away from Augusta.
Are you going to be able to squeeze in a pre-Augusta trip?
Trying to sort that out as we speak.
All right.
You know, obviously a lot has changed. A lot has changed in the last 12 hours, and I'm still kind of trying to take notes of where I'm at and where I need to be and what's going on. So once kind of dust settles and I can kind of get back more into a more natural routine here for the week, we'll start looking at when I can get there and how.
All right, House is going to grill you a little bit about your honeymoon stuff, but before he does that, I want to ask you made a comment in your post-round press conference. You said you were talking to your caddy about how when you've been going to these tournaments on the tour and feeling like you're a better player a year later when you go to those places. And I was just curious about that. One, when that conversation took place, was that actually was that during the final round? And then what exactly do you mean? Is that just knowing the course is better, or do you just see how your game has improved playing tough golf courses like Innisbrook?
Yeah, it was during the final round. I honestly can't remember exactly what hole it was, but we were just, you know, I was talking with my caddy Joe, and it just, you know, I had kind of felt that, you know, the entire year myself, that, you know, every time I revisited a golf course, I felt like my golf game was in a better place. I felt like mentally I was in a better place, and you know, he kind of mentioned what you said. You know, being comfortable with the golf courses a little bit more. I've played most of them two times already, and you know, being familiar and the surroundings and all that probably play a large part in what I said as well. And, you know, I just feel like I've continued to improve each and every year. And that's been the key for me. I've just sort of been on this upward trend for a while now, and you know, kind of culminated in a win this past weekend. But you know, hopefully, just continue that trend upwards and just continue the good golf being played.
So, Adam, Jeff mentioned that I'm going to have a couple sensitive questions for you about your plans for the rest of March and heading into Augusta. But before we get there, I have a question for you. I know a little bit about your background, and you've talked a little bit about it. You have mentioned in the past that baseball and golf were the sports that you loved and pursued as a kid, and that you never played hockey. My question is, are you sure you're Canadian?
I've been asked that many of times. My passport says I am, but I don't know if I'm actually full-fledged Canadian in many, many people's eyes. But
well, you are.
When you win a tour event, you definitely become one.
Yeah. So my
At very least, then I can be an honorary Canadian then now.
if you did play hockey, you know, it's important in hockey that everybody have a nickname. Do you already have a nickname?
No, I got nothing good for you there.
I'm still waiting on somebody to give me a good one. The hockey go-to is, do you just end, somebody's name with IE or E? So, I mean, maybe we could call you Hattie. Can you be Hattie?
You know what? I it's funny you say that. I've gotten Hattie a lot when I grew up. So, you know, when I played baseball and everything, everybody used to call me Hattie. So there you go. We'll go with that. That's perfect.
We'll roll with Hattie. I love it.
Now, Adam, we have a question from the Callaway community. Besh wants to know where the honeymoon that is being canceled, where was it originally supposed to be?
We were supposed to go down to the French Polynesian Islands. So we're going to spend a couple nights in Tahiti, a couple nights in Bora Bora, and then a couple nights in Moorea.
Ooh. Wow. So this is the perfect segue into my question, Adam. And I know by now you're probably exhausted by this. So we can just establish for everybody that Adam, and his fiance, they plan a wedding for March and a honeymoon shortly thereafter. And the wedding, coincides with a WGC event that Adam, previously hadn't qualified for. And the honeymoon, was supposed to coincide with the Masters. And, now both of those events are available. My question to you, Adam, is, was the planning of the wedding in March deliberate in the sense that it would create, you would have all these great problems for yourself like you have right now if you actually went out and won a tournament?
No, you got to remember, right? We planned this wedding probably last June or July, and, you know, we're getting married in Phoenix, and she wanted to get married in the spring, and you know, Phoenix in the spring is a great time. So she kind of wanted to, you know, when I proposed, I think I proposed in May of last year. So we kind of just dove right into it. We wanted to, we didn't want to have a long engagement. So we picked the springtime. We got married in Phoenix. It was pretty much at this point kind of up to the, up to our location, of what dates we could get. And, We found a great date, and when the PGA Tour schedule came out for the following year, you know, I was thinking, oh, that's great. Well, you know, it falls during the week at Puerto Rico. At least it's an opposite field event at the time, and you know, I'm not going to be missing you know, a full field event and a full regular field event, and you know, a WGC event at the time was never on my radar. I mean, I've spent the last, you know, year and a half kind of hovering around 190th to 170th in the world rankings. So, you know, the WGC was certainly never on my mind. And, you know, I knew the Masters and stuff was only a win away, but, we didn't start planning honeymoons until, probably January of this year, because we knew the wedding was kind of right in the middle of golf season. And that I likely was going to have to go right back into it. But I told her that if things had gone well at the beginning of the year, that we could maybe look at taking a honeymoon, and we could do that and kind of have that nice wedding straight into honeymoon like most people do. And, you know, I played well at Career Builder, set myself up, and we planned a honeymoon, but there was a little caveat there that said, you know, we're going to book the refundable stuff just in case we get into the Masters. And, you know, sure enough, here we are, you know, what's that, 2.5 months later after booking this honeymoon, and we have to cancel it. So pretty crazy to see how far things have come just in, you know, just in 2.5 months, really, because even after career builder, I was still, 120th or something, or something like that in the world rankings. So, you know, WGCs at that point were still a ways off. So,
I know much better than to ask this follow up. I've been with my wife for coming on nearly 15 years. We've been married for 10, but I just want to point something out. You know that the WGC events are guaranteed money. You know, all you have to do is show up. And I'm not suggesting that you wouldn't just you show up there to collect a check. You would show up and compete and try and do the very best you could. But you know that just setting foot on the grounds there, you pick up a paycheck and you take that home. I know it coincides with the wedding, and I know better than to ask the question, but is there any negotiation with your wife about, you know, maybe you do something small now just to go ahead and commemorate the sacred bond, but you go ahead and participate in the event, and then you can have a big event, you know, in the fall, maybe.
No, there has been zero discussion, and I'm not even going to approach her with that question at this point. You know, like you said, you know better than to ask that question. The only thing that would, you know, that has even crossed my mind that, you know, could potentially work is that with the new format of the match play, you know, you're in your little bracket and you play your matches and then you move on to the round of 16, is that, you know, maybe I could go down there and play my matches Wednesday, Thursday, and then, you know, I'm a little sick, I gotta leave now, guys, sorry, and then withdraw or something. But I would, you know, that's more of just a joke. I mean, I would never do that, obviously, you know, taking spots away from guys that are going to go there and be there the whole week. But you know what, I've got, the way I look at it is, you know, if I keep working hard and playing like I am, I've got plenty of WGCs to come, you know, I'll take advantage of those when they come.
Last thing, Adam, just, I mean, there's so many things that happen when you win, and exemptions and things that come with it. Just in kind of your day to day, I assume you probably drove from Tampa to Orlando. What anything in particular that kind of, besides obviously the Masters, that sort of popped into your head? I mean, something like, is the President's Cup on your radar, or anything, you know, the perks of winning that has really kind of jumped out at you, that is a bit of a shock almost?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me the biggest thing is job security. You know, every year I have to kind of go out and prove myself and, you know, earn my way back on the PGA Tour. And, you know, I had gotten off to a great start this year, and pretty much, you know, I had already solidified my place in next year, you know, my job for next year. So it was about continuing to move up the FedEx Cup rankings and, you know, to win and be able to plan a schedule now again for another 2 extra years and have that job security is huge for me. You know, getting into the Masters, getting into the PGA, getting a chance to play more majors, and then only like just the position that I'm in right now in the FedEx Cup. You know, playing well early, I've got such an opportunity now the rest of the year to do some special things this year, and, you know, maybe play my way into the Tour Championship, and you know, who knows, maybe be holding a FedEx Cup title at the end of the year.
Awesome.
So one last thing, Adam. We would be remiss if we did not pass along both congratulations and thanks from Callaway's own Harry Arnett. It was very kind of you to be so thoughtful as to win this week's tournament right in advance of appearing on Callaway Live with Harry. And we especially appreciate you winning, having already recorded the Callaway Live, and Harry now has to scramble to figure out how he's going to introduce you as PGA Tour winner Adam Hadwin.
You know, I thought about that on the drive up. I thought, what perfect timing that is. Now, you know, the week that my Callaway Live content's coming out, I was able to pull out a victory on the weekend before. So it was a great show. You know, I hope it turns out as good as much fun as I had doing it with him. So I look forward to watching it.
Awesome. Well, Adam, thanks. We'll let you get some rest. It's going to be a fun week there at Bay Hill. And, well, I don't know, fun, but it's going to be a special week to be a part of that event and thinking about Arnold Palmer. So get some rest there at the Homewood Suites. And we really thank you for taking a few minutes to chat with us.
Thanks, Adam.
Yeah, you got it, guys. Absolutely. No problems at all.
Friends of the Ringer Shack House, we're also brought to you by Helix Sleep. You know, night after night, two people lay in the same bed, but when it comes time to buy a new mattress, only one gets their way. Until now. Introducing Helix Sleep, where you can buy a mattress online, customized for both of you. And the price is in the hundreds of dollars as opposed to thousands. Go to helixsleep.com, answer a few simple questions based on four key preferences, and the result will be a custom sleep profile used to build you the most comfortable mattress you will ever sleep on. Your mattress will arrive at your door in about a week. Shipping is 100% free, and Helix customers report a 30% improvement in overall sleep quality. For couples, Helix customizes each side of the mattress, personalized to suit each of your bodies and the way that both of you sleep. You have 100 nights to try it out, and if you don't love it, they will pick it up for free and give you a 100% refund, no questions asked. That's why everyone from GQ Magazine to Forbes are all talking about Helix Sleep. Go to helixsleep.com/house and get $50 off your order. That's helixsleep.com/house, helixsleep.com/house, $50 off your first order. Do it. Hey, Shaq, we're about to have your good buddy. Every Monday morning, you get up at some ungodly hour and have this wonderful conversation with none other than Golf Channel's own Gary Williams. Very excited to have him on the Shaq House.
Yeah, absolutely. Gary is a fascinating guy. He has done a lot in the world of golf, a lot of interesting jobs. We're going to talk to him about that. Plus, of course, Gary's lived in Orlando now for over 6 years and really was one of those people who got into golf because of Arnold Palmer and then got to work and talk to him and all that good stuff. So Gary's a very interesting guy and very versed in all sports. So Gary, welcome to the Shaq House.
Jeff, Joe, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
So, you know, just take us back. I know that you're like a lot of people. You have a background in golf that probably started with being taken to a golf tournament by a grandfather and seeing Arnold Palmer. Is that about accurate?
Yeah, the only inaccuracy there is that it was my dad.
Oh, it was your dad. Okay.
My father took me to the 1973 Greater Greensboro Open, and that was the first time I laid my eyes on Arnold Palmer, and I was soon to be the 7 years of age, and I'll never forget the line, and it's a line that I've heard since, and I'm sure in my, you know, it wasn't an original line from my father, but it was original to me, and he pointed at him, and he said, "That's the John Wayne of golf." And, you know, that kind of stuck in my mind, and it wasn't long after that, I was attending St. Pius Elementary School in Greensboro, North Carolina, and there was a school auction, and my father bid on a autographed Arnold Palmer golf glove, and he won it. And, you know, it's legendary how legible the autograph is. It was the first autograph that I ever had as a keepsake. Now, I was irresponsible and decided that I would put the glove on, and I was swinging my golf club in the front yard wearing that glove when my dad pulled in the driveway one day from work. And he wasn't happy. The point wasn't for me to use the glove.
No.
Not to mention it was, you know, about nine sizes too large. But yeah, that was my first sighting, like a lot of people, whether it be, you know, a young boy or girl or somebody who goes to a golf tournament for the first time in their 20s. That was my first sighting, and it was indelible.
And then you got to meet him so many years later. What was that like? And I know you got to be with him last summer, not long before he passed away as well.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting that the first real time that I met him was a calamity, because I was an assistant professional at Seminole, and he was down there for the day playing with a dear friend of his, Bronson Ingram, from Nashville, Tennessee. And, you know, every morning we would always vacuum the shop at night, but for whatever reason, my boss, Jerry Pittman, made us vacuum the shop the next morning as if some, you know, people had trampled through the shop in the middle of the night. Now, the vacuum was up in the locker room at Seminole, which is as good a locker room as there is in the world of golf. But you have to walk up a steep flight of steps, and you open up this screen door, and you walk in the lower end of the locker room. And I hadn't seen Mr. Palmer yet. I knew that he was going to be there that day. And I tripped over the last step as I opened up the screen door and basically landed in his lap. He was on the bench across from the door. And so I'm kind of half on my knees, and he stuck his hand out and he said, "Good morning, I'm Arnold Palmer." And that was my first handshake with the man.
Oh.
And I introduced myself. He came in the shop when the day was over. Said goodbye, knew everybody's name. How, I don't know. Maybe he asked Mr. Ingram again, who were the guys in the shop, what's their names? And then, you know, once I got to Golf Channel, I was very fortunate, guys, to have a fair number of interludes with him, the first of which was not long after I started, and I did a little fireside chat with him the USGA was putting on over at Bay Hill, because he was one of a few people who had won three of their championships, and he was, you guys know, it was such a big part of their members program.
Yeah.
And was kind of the face of that program. And we did the chat that night, and he was just, my father was gravely ill at that time. And for whatever reason, he it was almost like he knew. It was almost like he had this intuition that I wasn't in a good place. And I never said anything to him until after my father had passed away. But, you know, long story long is, he was very good to me in the time that you know, I'd been here and that he was around. And the last time that I had a chance to spend a little time with him was U.S. Open week, and Damon Hack and myself and Matt Janella, I called up Corey Britt, who managed all of his affairs on a day-to-day basis, and said, "Corey, listen, you know, we have some time today. We'd like to come over from Pittsburgh, and there's no obligation. I don't know if he's, you know, well enough to say hello." He said, "No, he's in pretty good spirits. He's around. Come on by." So we went over there, and we wound up having lunch with him, and then went back over to the office. And he loved an audience. And even though I thought he had rallied, guys, I really did. I had seen him at the Masters and really was concerned. But at that afternoon, sitting in his office, and him telling stories, it was almost like the lights were on and there were cameras there, but there were no cameras, there were no lights. But he put on a show, and I know he wasn't feeling great and he was tired, but it was something that will live with me forever.
So, Gary, I know you're heading over on Wednesday to play in the Pro-Am. I'm interested in hearing what you're anticipating the mood to be at Bay Hill, because on the one hand, obviously you would anticipate there'll be some quiet moments, some somber and appropriate, respectful moments. But I'm wondering if you're anticipating kind of a celebration of Arnie's life at this event, the first event after his passing. I'm just interested in hearing what you think the mood will be like.
Yeah, Joe, I hope it's the latter. I think that there's going to be some reflective moments. I think that you're going to see some symbolism out there. I don't know if I'm guessing and feel strongly that the tournament organizers are going to have some particular moments of, you know, that will be melancholy and that will be reflective. But I think this week is to celebrate him. And I think that, you know, telling stories, and I was, you know, we did the show from there today, and, you know, it was a quiet morning. It was early on a Monday morning, but I did something after the show that's going to air Sunday on Morning Drive, and I sat down with Robert Dameron, who you know, won on the PGA Tour and has been a longtime resident there. And Mr. Palmer looked out for him, and then two very, very dear friends of his. And one of them is Ken Hawk Harrelson, who's a legendary baseball broadcaster.
Hawk, nice.
Two men who played, yeah, the Hawk. And so two men who played hundreds and hundreds of rounds of golf with him. And this is going to air Sunday, and we spoke for 25 minutes uninterrupted, and they just told stories, and we laughed. And some of it was borderline, you know, they had to clean up some of the stuff to make it airable. But, I mean, I that's what this week should be. This week should be, you know, when he passed, look, he had a glorious, great American life of 87 years, and we're all sad because you get greedy. You don't want to lose people like that.
Yeah.
But at this point, I think that we need to, you know, if he was here, he would want to be on that golf cart with those two golf bags loaded up with clubs. He thought he had his own time that was going to be later that day in the shootout. And then he would go inside and have a Kettle One. I mean, that's what the week should be. It really should.
So what's, Gary, kind of give us your how you got to Golf Channel in Orlando, because you've worked a lot of different parts of the golf world and the broadcast world. Can you just kind of give us how you kind of moved up that ladder and all the little side trips in between?
Sure. It was circuitous, Jeff. I mean, it was, you know, when I got out of school, I wasn't necessarily sure what I wanted to do. I actually was a political science major and interned for the recently departed Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden, and I was, he was at the time, this was the late 80s, was the head of judiciary, second on armed services. I thought maybe I wanted to be in politics, not in office, but in the system. And then I interned for him, and I realized that I didn't want any part of that because it was so bureaucratic and it was such a grind. And so nonetheless, I wasn't sure what my path was going to be. So when I got out of school, I my parents owned a piece of property and a home in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. There was a golf course being built at a golf club that they happened to have a membership at, that Jack Nicklaus had designed the golf course, and it was under construction. And I didn't know what I was going to do. So while I was interviewing for jobs, I worked construction, helping build this golf course. And I learned a lot. And I learned a lot about hard work, but I also learned a lot about, you know, the design aspect of things. And I thought to myself, geez, you know, maybe the golf industry is something that I'd be interested in. Hmm. I enrolled in the, you know, I was an apprentice immediately there, working, you know, outside. I was still doing some interviewing, looking for full-time jobs. Wasn't necessarily sure that it was what I wanted to do. But nonetheless, I wound up, you know, getting into the apprentice program. I kind of found a loophole in the system and went through the business schools inside of the calendar years that you really could do them, and got my Class A certification. And in that period, I moved from Governor's Club in Chapel Hill to Greensboro Country Club, which was a wonderful, you know, two-course facility that was 8 miles apart. And one was an Ellis Maples design. The other was an old Donald Ross, which was right in town. And then I was lucky enough that there were some members that were well-heeled that had memberships at certain clubs, and one of which was a guy who was a member at Seminole, and there was an opening there, and I found myself there. And I knew that I was going to get a good job regardless of how capable I was, just because that's kind of the way that system works. But I also realized almost 5 years into it that, you know what, I don't like this lifestyle. This is a very unusual lifestyle. And I made the choice to get out, and it was a hard conversation because my boss, Jerry Pippen, who should be in the PGA of America Hall of Fame, and that's another story, but nonetheless, he said, what the hell are you going to do? And I said, I don't know, but I just know that I don't want to do this. So I you know, was bouncing around and had a background in doing some radio in college, and I met a general manager of the CBS-owned station. I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina. And he said, well, we want to start a golf show on the weekends. Are you interested in doing it? And I said, sure. I was doing it for 4 months, and they had a morning show. They blew it up. He offered me the job to launch an all-talk sports morning show, gave me a three-year contract. I wound up being there 10 years, started doing television 3 years later, did the Charlotte Bobcats studio work, did the Carolina Panthers preseason play-by-play TV package, did college football and basketball for ESPN Regional. And then I moved to Sirius XM in New York City, and I was happy doing a national radio show, and then I started doing PGA Tour radio, and I was doing that for one season, and then I knew that the Golf Channel was going to launch this morning show, and I just happened to, you know, be in the rotation of people who inquired about the job, interviewed four times, and was offered the position before Thanksgiving of 2010, and then we started the show in 2011. So I've been, you know, it's, you know, Jeff and Joe, it's something that my father taught me. He said, you know, don't worry about what you're getting paid. Just there's sweat equity in everything that you do, and things are going to pay dividends for you if you do a job well, that the payoff is going to be down the road. Don't be greedy in the immediacy of making decisions. And that's kind of the way that I looked at all the things that I've done. Now, my wife hasn't agreed with that philosophy at times, but nonetheless, it's, you know, I'm incredibly fortunate to be in the position that I'm in.
Even if you have to get up at, what time do you get up for the 5 days a week?
That's not fortunate, Jeff. That's never fortunate.
Yeah, that is a tough part of the job.
That.
But you, being a golf pro, you got used to that being a morning person, right?
Yeah, mornings and weekends. You know, the thought of me, you know, people are like, hey, what are you doing for the weekend? And it got old really quickly for me to say I'm working. Because it's been, you know, it's been the better part of 25 years that the weekends are not the weekends. Like right now, today, this is my Friday late afternoon. Because I'm off tomorrow and Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, that's perfect time to recover. I have to ask, all the time you spent in North Carolina, you know that college hoops is the second religion, and this is March Madness week, so you get tomorrow and Wednesday to work on your bracket.
Yeah.
Give us a couple pointers on where Gary Williams is going to allocate some of his capital in terms of the college basketball world this March Madness.
Well, Joe, I'm glad you asked me that question, because I heard Jeff in his preamble with Damon Hack on our program this morning, you know, talking about how, you know, UCLA got short shifted in as far as their bracket.
Now, I did not.
Well, first of all, you didn't even mention the one seed. You focused on Kentucky exclusively. On the other
side,
they got to
beat them first.
Well, I know you got to handle them first, and you handled them quite easily.
Yeah,
the first time around, you blew them right out of the building. I think that the South, here's the thing about the South that I think people are, sometimes we get wrapped up in, you know, one, twos, threes, and fours, and we don't look at the meat of each region. Now, it's going to be hard for UCLA and Kentucky, and they are the equal to North Carolina. I think that is, those are pushes across the board on any given night on a neutral floor. Those three teams are, it's a Vegas push. But I think that region is top loaded, and people are just completely overreacting to that. Now, again, it's not going to be easy for you know, particularly Kentucky and UCLA to go through the entire thing, but they're capable of doing it. I think the West is weak. I think Arizona was dealt a phenomenal hand.
Yep.
That's the point you were making. You're saying the Pac-12 was treated unfairly. Arizona has been gift-wrapped, essentially, a trip to the regional final out west, and they're playing exceptionally well. I think Villanova Duke is a lock. It's destined that we will get that regional final in Madison Square Garden, and Duke is, they might as well have, you know, their campus either in northern New Jersey or somewhere in the metropolitan area. That building will be on fire. The Midwest, it's okay. I think Kansas, I think that, you know, Louisville, they're good. I don't think they're a great two seed. So I think that I like chalk. I do. I like UCLA. I really do. if they defend Jeff and Joe, and Jeff knows this because he watches every game, if they make any interest in playing on that side of the floor, I think that they are going to be the team that comes out of the South. I really do.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, they also need to shoot a little better. The Arizona game, they were 4 of 25 on the three-pointers. Not going to work well in the tournament if they have one. But that was the first night season they've had that.
And that, the other part about these games that that bothers me is that there's so much commercialism. The game, games that UCLA and Carolina and Kentucky want to play, which is in the upper 80s, it's much easier to get very deliberate and slow teams down in a tournament setting. There is the games, it's very hard to get the pace going fast and keeping it that way because there's so many stoppages.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that's the danger, so we'll see. Before we let you go, Gary, we've got to get back to golf. One of the things we're trying to do this year on the show is just kind of give people an overview of the places the tour is going. And now that you've had, 6 years in Orlando, you live in Winter Park, where there's just been a great restoration. But, you know, if somebody's going to Orlando, kind of what are your thoughts on best places to hit for golf and food, for house and anything else they should kind of know if they get down there?
You know, Jeff, this is an interesting state. I think that there's a great deal of golf, but I think you got to be careful about how you plan trips, because the state, you can say, well, you know, you can move around. Listen, I mean, if you want to go from Jacksonville to Jupiter, you know, that alone is a half a day to get just from point A to point B. I think that, you know, Central Florida offers up some decent golf. I'm not going to sit here and you know, toot the horn for the greater Orlando area. I think it's okay. I think that there are some you know, fine places to stay and to play at, depending on your level. I mean, I think that I actually think the Tampa area is pretty good. And I also think that going out, you know, I remember years ago, and this was when it was kind of a hot property, and I haven't been there in a long, long time. I liked, you know, World Woods, and I liked the fact that they had two golf courses. It's a great practice facility. It's kind of it's in a remote area, but you can get modest lodging. I think that's a fun place to go play golf. The issue with going down to South Florida is, where can you play? You know, it's one thing to run into, you know, half the PGA Tour at Tiger Woods' restaurant, but they don't play at places that you know, America can play at. So that's the tricky part about, I think, this state, that the best golf courses are not necessarily, you know, with public access. I think anybody, if you make a list of places that you would want to play in this state that you think you can get on, I think everybody should try to experience the stadium course. At TPC Sawgrass at least once, because it's so provocative. It's iconic in the sense that you see it every year. There are holes that are memorable that you remember that are talking points. They're the kind of holes that, you know, Jeff, that you and I could sit around and talk about over dinner for 4 hours and say, well, gosh, why did he do that?
Yeah,
well, what was he thinking?
House just did that.
Did that,
so.
I mean,
yeah, I was there 2 weeks ago.
There you go. I mean, that golf course to me is, and I think you know, that's another subject that we could talk about at a later date. That date, I think, is going to move, and I don't know how you guys feel about it. I just think in terms of the way the golf course plays, the prevailing winds in the month of March as opposed to May, the agronomics, all of it. I just think it's better served. I think the size of the crowds, all of it. But I if anybody said, where would you play in the state of Florida if you could only play one place? Well, the one place I'd play is Seminole, but you need I don't know what you need to get on there. Well, actually, I do, but I can't share that.
Yeah.
But I would say go to the stadium course.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, Gary, we look forward to the coverage this week on Morning Drive. You'll be there. You'll be there Thursday through Sunday, correct?
Yeah, I'll be back on the air Thursday.
All right. Well, enjoy the Pro-Am, and we look forward to all the coverage, and thanks for all the great insights and conversation.
Jeff, Joe, thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Big thanks today to Adam Hadwin, first-time winner on the PGA Tour and great Callaway guy. Also, big thanks to Gary Williams. Set the stage for us at this coming Arnold Palmer Invitational down at Bay Hill. Season 3, our friends of the Shack House of Callaway Live is now rolling. And the next couple weeks, the goods continue on Tuesday, March 14th, which is tomorrow at 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Tune in and get to know a little bit more about the PGA Tour's latest winner. That's right, none other than Adam Hadwin. He is a great guy, as you have heard on today's Shack House. And he's really easy to root for, and it's great to watch him hold on for the victory at Valspar. Next week, Shack House pals, Tuesday the 21st, the big Wheezy herself, Michelle Wee, is on the show. Michelle's the newest member of Callaway's LPGA Tour staff, one of the most dynamic golfers you'll meet. Be sure to check that one out. These are two can't-miss episodes, so get on over to callawaygolf.com/CallawayLive for all of the unscripted action.
Today's show was brought to you by Ringer University. How about that? Our old pal Tate with March Madness here on the on the rise. Tate Frazier, Mark Titus tell you everything you need to know about this year's tournament. I got the show downloaded. We're looking forward to listening to it today when I do a little workout, start prepping for my my bracket. You can listen, subscribe to the podcast by searching Ringer University on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and wherever you get podcasts like the House.
Check House!
That was a nice one.
That was amazing.